I just wanted to welcome everybody and thank you for joining the live stream call tonight. It's great to see some familiar faces in the group and also some new faces to Maximus, so welcome. I know these are very hard times for us all, and they're hard times for me personally too. And so the purpose of the call tonight is really to make sure that, you know, as a team who work across leadership across the country, we wanted to make sure that we were doing what we could to make sure that you felt supported and we were helping in any way that we could offer. So we have some of our most experienced execs on this call to help you. And the expertise in the room ranges from people with strong technology capability. Many of us have led through decades, including through the GFC with clients on leadership, both in the market and obviously running our own firm. And we've also got some deep psych expertise in the room. So if we're really wanting to tap into people's responses and how they're dealing with the climate and the conditions at the moment, you've got that at your fingertips as well.
I'm not going to spend too much time on the context that we're all operating at the moment because it's something that we're all living through. But one thing I do want to acknowledge up front is just the pace and speed at which we're operating through this. I think if you reflect on it, it's only been a matter of days that we started to react, to adjust, and in some cases, both individually and organizationally transform. At Maximus, we're remaining connected to our leaders in the market. Most of our conversations with them are about the immediate issues, the pressures, the decisions that we're all making. And we've all heard the concept of the leadership shadow. At the moment, it almost feels like a leadership floodlight. It's the spotlight that's shining on us, and our people are looking to us for clarity, for conviction and courage. And I know for me personally, sometimes I feel like I'm shining in that light, but other times it feels like it's being tested. So today's session really for all of us is about support. It's about our ability to press the pause button, stop the hectic pace that we're all operating in and share amongst us as a community of leaders. We want to be able to lift our gaze and think about the important and critical stuff and the leadership elements that are affecting and the decisions that we're having to make. As Vanessa said before, it's really great to look around the faces across the room and see some really familiar ones, but also some new ones. And I know even today we're joined by executives, we're joined by business leaders, and we're also joined by many people and culture leaders. Today's about an open conversation. We want to leave time to be able to talk amongst our groups in smaller groups, but also to open up to a larger Q&A. And one of the threads that we really want to extend through this whole session is this concept of truths from the real world. I think this is about us sharing that it's challenging, show our connection, lean in, be vulnerable, remove our masks, and really be able to help each other as a community.
So tonight's about getting really specific on how and where we can help. And we're curious to understand what you're focusing on right now. What I've put up here is a range of different things that we're hearing people saying they're grappling with right now. So everything from, you know, immediately addressing business continuity, how can we keep the business running, through to, you know, getting the financials together, looking at what the state of the nation is for the business and understanding how we can carry through, through to really leaning into customers and understanding the nuance of what's happening in their world and what's happening with their customers and how we can help. And I mean customers in a broader sense. And then also aspects of, because we are in this twin issue of, you know, a very challenging economic environment, but equally people dealing with significant health crises at the same time, which is new and different. And none of us have ever led through that double-barreled issue. Many people are just really trying to work out how they deal with the devastation and disruption to people's lives in that context. People talked about the concept of getting everybody virtual straight up, and that's a very immediate need as we prepare for a full shutdown. And so even things like tech proficiency are, you know, at the top of people's minds.
As Vanessa mentioned, these are the areas that we're hearing in the market from leaders, things that they're focusing on. I was just wondering if anyone would like to kick us off with, you know, why they chose the area that they chose.
What we found was really important initially was to let our people know, I guess, that whole sort of state of the nation for the business. There's a lot of anxiety about them individually, and the business itself and whether they're going to be able to keep their jobs and what the outlook was. So what we found was that it was really good to go early with our people, pull them all into the room together, let them understand that we've seen these challenging times before as business leaders and that we're going to work together to get us through these difficult times and some of the ways that we intended to do that. So that they really understood that that we were there to support them and that we needed their support within the business in order to be able to sort of navigate these challenging times. And we found that they became much more engaged. They were given an opportunity to be heard in terms of some of their anxieties around that and then come into working with us around the next piece, which was addressing the business continuity. How could we what were the things we really needed to focus on to ensure the sustainability of the business and ultimately their positions during this difficult period? So we found bringing them into the room was really important to us. And I guess I'd be interested to hear from others as to how they handled that and the sort of responses that they've had as a result of that.
I think that ability to bring people into the decision quickly and have that transparency has been a great lesson across a couple of our clients and also here at Maximus.
The issue that I raised was the relentless and intense pace that we're working at the moment. You know, I'm grateful that I work for an organisation that has really great leadership and that got organised very quickly and started preparing very early on for what was lying ahead of us. What that means is we've all been working at a relentless pace for quite a few weeks now. So how we all manage that when it's the same key people working at that pace is sort of top of mind for me at the moment. And now that we're throwing homeschooling in on top of that, that's top of mind for me at the moment.
Yeah. And, you know, this pace will probably continue for a period of time, but at some point we have to establish a new normal for, you know I'm exactly the same. There's no breaks in the day. I'm not really getting to even stretch my legs throughout the day. I'm just constantly on the sessions. So I hear you, and we will come to some ideas around that. And I think that's going to be common across the group. One of the things that came up in our group that I thought was really interesting was this issue of quite a few acting leaders. And if you're operating in these kind of conditions with an established executive or leadership, what happens when you've got maybe three or four people in the exco who are acting? And we talked about the challenge around conviction and clarity in that kind of environment, but also this concept of how do you get rapid trust? Because if you can get it really quickly, but if you don't hold it, one or two missteps and you lose that straight away. So that's quite tricky.
We are one of Australia's fastest growing scale-ups. We were 165 people at the end of last year, but we acquired our biggest competitor. And so we're navigating the challenge of integrating two cultures while also managing a pandemic. So we've really gone in hard on culture, and we've been trying to roll out a bunch of just fun, very lo-fi initiatives. We are very heavy users of Zoom because of the fact that we've always had offices spread globally from very early on. And one of the things that we did this week to keep spirits high was doing a virtual Zoom background challenge to try and infuse positivity and playfulness. That's very much a tenet of our culture. And it's become a really important part of trying to remove some of that isolation. So working out ways that we can keep those teams engaged with the tools that we use like Zoom and even our tools like Slack. So that's some of the stuff that we've been doing. But for us, it's really been about culture first, in order to make sure that people feel included and not isolated in this time.
Really helpful and interesting. And I think it's good to tap into people who are really where virtual is part of the consistent norm of their business.
The challenge we're having is around our executive leadership team. Some are new to the role and some are acting. So galvanising their leadership and the way that we are performing now in uncharted territory. The other thing for us is our connectivity in terms of how are we embracing this new norm and working as an enterprise as opposed to individual teams. I I think, is a challenge that we're embarking upon. And then also, how are we creating that break in the day? So we're working at such a rapid race. Every day seems to be on fire and without any break. I'm setting my alarm early so I can try to go for a walk at 7 a.m. in the morning just to get that that break in. So how are we bringing that fun into the day, but also then coping with deadlines? So the deadlines seem to be exponential at the moment. So, yeah, I think everyone is experiencing that. I love the background challenge and the playfulness. I think we need to be doing a little bit more of that. So day by day, we're coming up with new ways of connecting. And I think it's something we really need to think of as leaders.
So this is a list of 8 things that we have shared that we believe any organisation going through this right now, these are kind of the must-dos. And when you're looking at them, think a little bit more deeply than just the words. So, for example, acknowledging the rapidly evolving uncertainty with your people, it seems obvious, but it's daily right now. It's not on a one-off. Certainties, again, are changing sort of under rapid fire right now, even for businesses that are scaling up as well as the businesses that are scaling down. So your people are really looking to you for those types of certainties, and you need to be working as much as you can to give them those assurances that you're putting their well-being first and you're doing what you can to show them that they're valued. And I know that we know that, but some of these things I think are obvious, but maybe not obvious in terms of the magnitude and the ways that you need to do them. So just a little bit of a checklist for you to take with you. So if that's the what we're trying to focus on, Brent's going to talk a little bit about the how.
So we just wanted to share with you some of our recent insights on how, as leaders, we can be showing up in this intense time. So we've pulled together these 3, I guess, insights with regards to that leadership behaviour. We've pulled them together with our years of expertise in leadership capability and development, but also the things that we're experiencing right now and, you know, that we're all in the thick of it. So the first one on the list here you'll see is clarity. And I think a few people have mentioned clarity and communication on the call tonight. And I think it's a really big issue. And it's not a new issue that we've been facing into as leaders, but I think our clarity is really being tested. Some of the best advice that we've been seeing and some of the best actions in the market is that we need to react quickly. We need to provide as much transparency to our people and to our customers. We need to make sure that we're overcoming our tendency to want to be right or perfect or 100% and actually make sure that we're making decisions with the best information we have, but we're also progressing and moving forward. The next one is about the curiosity to care. So it has actually 2 elements to it. It's about the care for yourself and your own well-being. As leaders, our buckets are full and in some cases overflowing, and we've got to have that time to assess ourselves and see where we're at. And think about what are we doing for our own resilience and recovery. For example, I thought I was doing quite well up until this week when we had to announce and inform and talk to our people at Maximus about moving to an 80% week. And it wasn't to the point where I actually stood in front of our people and communicated that it was quite an emotional moment, because all running through my head was my knowledge of my people who have young families, mortgages, or they're looking after their extended families. And in that moment, I had that running through my head while I was communicating that. And it truly, in that moment, I got a bit undone. But I think it's about us caring about ourselves, but also the curiosity to care about our people. The biggest tip that I have for that is don't just ask the first question, which is the obvious one, which is how are you doing? And I think we're seeing a lot of that, but ask the second and third level question to really open up and allow that person to connect with you and to, I guess, for you to see that and experience that deep sense of care. The third one is about connection and presence. And again, I think for all of us, David, you mentioned in the first part, we're all learning about connection and presence in this virtual environment. And I think it's about all of us setting up the operating rhythms. I think a lot of leaders have set up good operating rhythms, but we also need to keep an eye on them and make sure that they're still fulfilling what they are. I think I've seen a lot of daily stand-ups where we're getting all staff on or all people online. But what I've seen other organisations move to making sure they've got an end-of-day wrap just to do that final check-in with people to see that they're doing okay. But the last one is about maintaining and activating performance and driving productivity. And yes, it's all about the productivity of our people, but I think this is actually more about the culture and really stopping as leaders and assessing whether our culture is strong enough to permeate into our tens, hundreds, or even thousands of people that work within our culture, because we're actually asking our cultures now to extend into everybody's homes. And I think that our cultures are going to be tested. The foundations of our cultures, of trust, is really what it's all about. So that last one, I think, is about, yes, about daily performance and daily accountability. But for me, the bigger question is, how is ours and all of your cultures permeating out into people's homes?
Interestingly enough, we're actually seeing some gaps, definitely in leadership ways of communicating to the greater group in the time of, I suppose, crisis. And I think to some people, it is definitely a crisis. And I think to some teams, it, you know, it's an opportunity. And that goes back to that mindset thing we, I think, started the conversation with. Personally, I'm definitely finding that the executive teams or executive leadership teams are finding it difficult to find a two-way conversation rather than, you know, how they used to, which is just talking at you, talking to you, but without involving, you know, the other side. So that finding that two-way street, I think currently is actually most important, but I think it's probably the most challenging now, because, you know, that's loss of control, right? So that's having to find now it's bottom up, not just top down.
I think that concept of redefining a different relationship to the conversation, and that there has to be a different level of transparency for the trust we need right now, is hugely relevant. So thanks.
For us, I think it's about, and you mentioned it earlier, around people feeling they need to be 100% or know all the answers. So for instance, we had a town hall today, a lot of questions come through, flowing through about recruitment freezes, redundancies, things like that, and what's going to happen in a month. And it's hard, but we don't know the answers either. So, you know, and we don't need to know all the answers. And so it's kind of like, how do we position it? So we're saying we're on this journey with you. We're working through some of the answers, but it's not all black and white at the moment. So there's still a lot of unknowns.
It's nice to have a separate notepad and just list out your knowns and your unknowns as you collect them throughout the day. And so if you haven't built that into your daily practice yet, I really encourage you, because your role as a leader is to convert that uncertainty into understanding as much as possible at the moment.
The issue for us has been around individually engaging it. I know it's difficult when you've got really big teams, but I think you've got to draw people out in your team and so bring them into the conversation, and to a degree let them lead in the areas that they're focused on, so that they're really engaged and they stay engaged. I think that's one of the big challenges when we're working remotely, is to make sure that we can engage our teams and make people feel like they have a voice and that voice is being heard. So we're certainly making an effort each day to do that. We're finding that even though it's a very agile environment, obviously everything's changing each day, and that morning check-in is really important. But we're finding, even if we have to repeat certain things each day, it's really worthwhile doing that just to engage with the team and let everybody know that we are still working as a team together.
I think that's really important. I think the stand-ups, to not only have the communication, and as you said, sometimes it has to be repeated, or the prioritisation. But the other tip along that is, I think with so many virtual meetings happening and we're still all getting used to different operating rhythms, to end meetings with clear actions and clear accountabilities, because I think that in this shifting change, accountabilities aren't always clear. And I think if we can end our rhythms or our meetings with that just that clarity around actions and accountabilities, I've seen that help both internally here at Maximus, but with some of our clients.
We also found we really needed to pivot our pace on meetings. So our people love collaboration. They love a detailed discussion. And it took us a good week and a half to get more laser-like focus and just sharpen the saw a little bit in terms of the way we spoke about things. And again, I'd urge you just to go back and have a look at your stand-ups and your meetings and just see what the right balance is and then how physically your leaders might need to pivot to help that happen.
And just on that point around that, we found that, we've got the challenge of multiple global time zones with our team. It has to be finding ways to work beyond just having meetings and changing the cadence of meetings. We've started doing a lot of collaboration to work asynchronously in things like Google. For us, we use G Suite, so we use Google's products and collaborate in documents so that when you're having a meeting, what you're actually doing is making a final decision, not doing a readout and not doing an update. And so for teams that can access things like G Suite or even Microsoft Teams has it as well, I think finding those ways to work asynchronously so you're not actually relying on meetings is really critical when you've got everyone working from home and if you do have the challenge of other time zones as well.
On that decision making, I think that's where we've seen a real change because our time horizons have shrunk. We're now planning in hours and days. And what I found very helpful is to go, what are the decisions that do need to be made to take that next action? And communicating what decisions are being considered, we don't have an answer, and what ones do we have an answer to? So decision making, that's just absolutely being turned on its head. Some people are stepping up and it's amazing, whereas some are quite frozen. Yes, decision-making is definitely very different in these current times.
We're offering a set of masterclasses for leaders, and the last masterclass we identified that was really important was about shifting people from this new normal out of it into a recovery effort. And I think for leaders, thinking about here and now, but equally having that next horizon on how do you actually get these people through to a recovery when they're going to be a bit bruised and a bit battered is crucial. It's got to be something that's on our minds right now.
I've probably spent about 10 hours, 15 hours this week one-on-one with leaders across lots of organisations, actually doing assessment debriefs, and all of them are so engaged in the conversation about where the opportunity lies for them to use the current state to actually make a shift in the way that they're engaging with their teams or with their peers. And so I think at the moment people are really, you know, really open and understand the call to action around, you know, being future fit. And so I think, you know, you're talking about at an organisational cultural level, but I saw it this week in, you know, 15 conversations with leaders across 3 or 4 businesses, one-on-one saying, I'm just not sure I've got what it takes. You know, my confidence is absolutely disrupted. Tell me how I can lean into this in a different way, which the vulnerability, you know, was really interesting, but also the fact that they were seeing that, you know, if I don't make this shift at this time, I'm probably wasting an opportunity because, you know, I can see that I'm needing to change anyway.
It's also been incredibly useful that we've never faced this before because we've got a lot, you know, we're a big complex organisation with lots of systems that have been built for things we've faced before. And those systems are anchored in the mode-based transport, which we've been trying to get that to shift. And it's only this that it's so different that we actually have to come together.
Just to wrap up what I heard there, leveraging the opportunity and making sure that we, you know, we see the grassroots in this as well as dealing with all the chaos and the fallout. So that's really helpful. And just one last point I wanted to leave you on from that discussion is just, you know, there's a number of psychologists here. Just expect some irrational responses. People aren't being rational right now. They're watching the news. Everything around them is causing a bit of a state of hysteria. So, you know, if you think one conversation or two conversations is going to calm things down, you probably need to be doing a lot more than that to get through to people. So in terms of wrapping up, we will be here to support you over the coming weeks and months. This is the first, and if it works for you, then please join us in future live stream discussions. And most importantly, we wish you well and we hope you stay safe during what's going to be a really challenging few weeks ahead.